Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 36th episode of the Monologue Podcast. This is a weekly 20 to 40 to 45 minute podcast where I introduce a new manga series to you each week and try to stay within a decent time frame, but it seems like lately these episodes are going to get longer and longer, especially now that I'm looking at this outline and I'm like, wow, I wrote a lot here. So I'm hoping that I can cover this in a decent span of time. This is a weekly introduction podcast, not so much a review cast, just giving you general impressions on the manga that I've chosen for the episode, and just some enough details to pique your interest and allow you to determine if this is a series that you would like to check out. Of course, it has to be a series that is legally available in English. I do not condone or encourage, you know, scanlations or piracy. It needs to be accessed both digitally and physically. If it has an exclusively physical release or it's one of those digital first series, I know some people don't like to read their manga digitally and some don't collect them physically. So it's just one of those ways to keep everyone in, from feeling excluded. It's just an accessibility thing. And my name is John. I'm the sole host of the podcast. But of course, I'm always welcome to community participation, such as you guys reading along with me. If it's a series that you've read before or are reading along, you can definitely message me your own thoughts and I will feature those on the show. And if you have a certain series that you would like for me to check out, you can definitely recommend, as listeners have done in the past. And of course, suggestions for the format, new segment ideas, or one-off episode ideas, stuff like that. And this is the part of the show where I give shout outs. I wish I had some like cool audio drops or something to kind of signify that I'm switching gears. So it's just kind of going with the flow. But I guess I've been that way since the beginning. So why change now, right? All right. So the first shout out I'd like to give is to a new follower on Twitter, but also somebody who is doing something in the manga sphere. It's called Manga Worth Reading, and it's a relatively new manga blog, and their tagline on Twitter says reviews and articles on all the manga worth reading, new and old. They followed me on Twitter, so they started interacting with some of my posts, which I definitely appreciated, and I replied back to them and stuff, and I figured, hey, why not give them a shout-out, because they've been pretty cool. They even followed up with me and said they'd check out Flying Witch after listening to that episode, which was really awesome. So yeah, definitely give them a look. Subscribe to their blog through your email, you know, the RSS. Shoot, you can volunteer to write for them, see what happens. I mean, it seems like they are open to contributors that would like to write. So if that's something you'd like to do, then check them out. And then the next shout out is to V-Lord. I actually followed them. They really need no introduction. If you listen to other manga podcasts or engage in the manga blogosphere at all, they are an editorial writer, excuse me, for allcomic.com and Toonami News. They recently released a pod. The sale's really bad. I should probably know. I don't want to assume anybody's gender, but I've always heard him referred to as a he, I'm pretty sure. Anyways, V-Lord, he's a co-host of the Demon Slayer podcast. That's something new that recently released. And I haven't engaged in Demon Slayer myself, but it seems like it's picking up steam relatively fast. So if you're a fan of Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, definitely check that out. And Manga Mavericks is a podcast that I've shouted up before, but not as often as I probably should. They are also under that All Comic banner, so definitely check them out. They do a lot of ambitious podcasting content. Definitely appreciate them, and always fun to listen to their episodes. Anyways, this is episode 36 on Cardcaptor Sakura, written and illustrated by the mangaka group Clamp. And I can do probably an entire episode or series of episodes on Clamp, because just looking into just the minimal research that I had to do for this, there's a lot of stuff about them. So I'm just going to try to truncate things dramatically, because this outline's huge and I need to get through it. So Clamp used to be a group of 12 people, but now it's down to four women in the industry. Nanase Okawa, another Mokona, Well, Tsubaki Nekoi and Satsuki Igarashi. Mokona? Is that how you say it? Mokona? I don't know. That's a very interesting name. It's got to be a pen name, I'm assuming. And they started in the late 80s writing doujinshi, which are doujinshi, oh, that's hard to say, doujinshi are fan comics, and they wrote fan comics for series such as Captain Tsubasa, Saint Seiya, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And I think the Saint Seiya was like a yaoi doujinshi, which is like boys love yaoi, or is that yuri? Oh gosh, I get confused. Yuri on Ice, the series, throws me off, because that's definitely a boys' love thing going on there, but I'm pretty sure Yuri is girls' love. It's just, it just throws me off. Yaoi is a boy-on-boy kind of stuff. So, yeah, and then they started publishing some of that stuff, actually, and I think that's how they got noticed, and before long they were doing their own series. The earliest work of theirs that I recognize by name is Magic Knight Rayearth, but they've had many works before, and a ton of works after, including Tokyo Babylon, Chobits, Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicle, Holic, and they have just so much manga. I wasn't even sure which ones to highlight in that list because they just have so many, and I'm not sure the popularity of some of the things. I just pointed out things that I recognize by name, but their stuff spans a bunch of genres, themes, and demographics. They don't strict Cardcaptor Sakura is a shoujo manga, but they don't stick to strictly shoujo. They just go all over the place. They basically draw and write whatever they want. And I wish I can cover, you know, everything that they do, but I just don't have the time. One thing I do know is that they have done designs for anime series, which is how I first heard the name Clamp. I'm a huge fan of the anime Code Geass. It's animated by Sunrise. It's about 50 episodes. And that was one of, early on, one of my very first anime that I watched after Death Note, because I had just finished Death Note and I was just dying to find something somewhat similar, and there was a lot of people recommending Code Geass, and that's why I checked it out. And that was a while ago. I think that's when Sunrise put the episodes, at least the first season, for free on YouTube. It wasn't like a part thing. It was like the entire full episodes for free on YouTube, which was pretty interesting. I don't know if they still do that, but it's available in its entirety, I think sub and dub on Netflix right now. So that's exciting. I've been meaning to rewatch it. But yeah, that's how I figured out about them. They do the character designs for that show, and they've done character designs for other animes, such as, I think, The Blood Sea. I never watched that. And yeah, so that's very, very, very quick history of Clamp, because I really just don't have the time to give them the credit that they deserve, probably. But Cardcaptor Sakura, back to Cardcaptor Sakura, this is published by Kodansha in Japan. It's 12 volumes long, which actually I thought it was way longer than it was, and I'll get to why I thought it in a second. That's about 50 chapters, so 12 volumes, 50 chapters. As far as English releases go, I think from 2000 to 2003, Tokyo Pop published the series in, you know, single volume. They actually published it, I think, flipped, so it was like left to right reading instead of right to left. And then their license expired, and Dark Horse picked it up like 7 years later, so 2010, released 4 3-in-1 omnibuses, which had better translation and just better overall quality. And I saw that those physical releases are still available on Amazon, and I couldn't find them digitally, but I also couldn't find the Tokyo Pop single editions at all, physically or digitally, which is probably for the best, because I hear a lot of bad things about Tokyo Pop. And honestly, at the time when they're big, I was too young to even know who they were or care, and also I was just poor, so I was not engaging with manga at a very young age. What I bought were the first two collector's editions of the Cardcaptor series that have been recently being released by Kodansha. They are 2-in-1 editions, and you know, brand new cover art and all that stuff. The third one is set to release in the first week of January, I think like January 7th. And those are actually available both digitally and physically, which is why I was able to check them out. And Kodansha was having like a Clamp Spotlight sale this month, so that's why I got them for cheap, those first two collector's editions. So if you're curious, you can buy those two, and then you'll be caught up with at least those re-releases until January when the third one comes out. And that would be volumes 5 and 6. So half of the series will be available starting in January, you know, at least the first half of the series. Anyways, unless you want to shell out the cash for the Dark Horse releases, which are huge and they're like range from like $15 to $25 on Amazon. But anyways, Cardcaptors originally ran from 1996 to 2000, and a shoujo magazine called Nakayoshi. It's a monthly magazine, again, shoujo demographic. It says in the Wikipedia that was age 8 to 14. That's the general range of that audience. And it's one of the best-selling shoujo magazines in Japan. It's still circulating. Stuff like Sailor Moon, Pretty Cure, and one of other Clamp's earlier series, Magic Knight Ray Earth, published in there. I think currently the Cardcaptor Sakura sequel, Clear Card, is running in there. Did I say airing earlier? I meant publishing. I don't know. Anyways, and Cardcaptor Sakura is a magical girl, adventure, romance, so on and so forth, school, blah, blah, blah. A lot of genres attached to it. But magical girl, adventure, romance, those are probably the main three to focus on. So, Cardcaptor Sakura. Oh boy, this is a lot to get through. I hope you guys are still with me after getting through that long introduction. But Cardcaptor Sakura takes place in modern-day Japan. Well, I mean, at least what's, I guess, modern for the time that it came out. So like the 90s Japan, let's say, in a city near Tokyo. And there's a little girl named Sakura. She randomly opens a book in her father's library, and it reveals its true nature to her because she has some sort of innate magical ability. And when she opens the book, a bunch of cards scatter out of it and just go flying all over the place. And this creature, stuffed animal looking thing, pops out. It kind of looks like Cone from Bleach, except like with wings and probably a little cuter than Cone and less foul-mouthed and perverted. so not Cone. And his name is Cerberus, who Sakura calls Kero-chan because it's cuter. And the translation notes in the back of the manga elaborate why Kero-chan, why she calls him Kero-chan, because it doesn't seem like it makes any sense considering his name, but it's like a Japanese pun. And Kero-chan explains that, hey, this book is empty and we need to collect those cards that you just scattered because they have the ability to wreak havoc on the world, or like they're going to cause some sort of catastrophe if you don't get them back in this book ASAP. So he basically recruits Sakura. She wasn't exactly volunteering for the job. She was, you know, this little girl, but because she has some sort of innate magical ability and she was the first one to discover the book, he recruits her to basically go and find these cards and get them back. So I just think the whole exchange for this backstory of Sakura becoming this magical girl is that she even says it like, Kero-chan tricked me, kind of. And, you know, before she can so much as get a word out, he's already performing some ritual with this this really cool key staff thing. It's like a key that Sakura wears as a necklace, I believe. And, like, if she says some sort of, like, series of words, it turns it into a magical staff that she could also ride like a broomstick. It's super cool. And if I was, like, a little girl or boy reading this, I would be, like, amazed, and I would want one myself. But yeah, it basically imbues her with magic, or I don't know, like activates her latent abilities, and then the rest is history. It flashes forward to, you know, her current day, and again she has to capture these card creatures and store them back in the book so they don't cause some sort of vague catastrophe that hasn't been revealed. And these cards, they're like mythical creatures stored inside of them, I guess. Some of them are aggressive, some of them are innocent. The manga says that there are 19 cards in total, and I think at the start of the series, Sakura already has 3 or so. And I guess the anime greatly expands on the manga, which is why I thought the manga was so much longer, because in the anime, there are like 50-something cards instead of 19, and the anime has like 70 episodes, so it's pretty well regarded, considering the fact that most of it's filler. People say really good things about the anime, but apparently it's, I guess it's one of those cases, rare cases where it's good filler, kind of fleshes out the world a little bit. I don't know. Yeah, and at least in the manga, there's 19, and she starts collecting them relatively quickly. Like, I'm 3 volumes in, so, because I'm halfway through the second collector's edition, so 3 volumes in, and she's already collected a fair amount. So it's progressing at a pretty rapid pace, I would say. But yeah, Sakura has a friend in elementary school named Tomoyo, who is her bestest friend in the world. She carries around a camcorder, videotapes Sakura's adventures, and also designs her outfits, which is actually really cool because they're super elaborate and beautiful. And it's like, come on, there's like no way this girl could be this talented. You know, they're in like fourth grade. And Tomoyo gets really invested in Sakura's exploits because, well, honestly, anyone would. I mean, you have a friend that has like magical powers. Like, how cool is that? But I think she also gets some sort of like personal satisfaction out of Sakura just wearing her outfits, you know. I think it's like a kid fantasy. They're creating like a little TV show documentary on, you know, I don't know. It's pretty cute, and it's fun seeing her get really worked up over Sakura, you know, donning her outfits and tackling these cards, and you know, I don't know. It's just a little bit of like a childhood wish fulfillment kind of thing. And yeah, they're just really good elementary school buddies, though Sakura acknowledges early on, like, hey, you know, Tomoyo's kind of weird. I mean, I don't think she's weird. I think she's, like, eccentric, you know, but she's very, like, I don't know what the word is. She's super nice and super talented. I can kind of see why Sakura calls her a little weird. I don't know how to explain it, but she just, like, she seems kind of dopey, but she's not. She's, like, really, I think she's really intelligent. I don't know. It's this weird thing. I don't know if it's her design, because they have like these really doll-like designs, and like I know they're really, you know, young children, so I don't know. But like Sakura seems pretty like, I guess, what's the word? Articulate, like, for her age. So I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. But like Tomoyo does seem kind of off. But in a good way. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm insulting her character now. You know, I'm just gonna stop. Anyways. So I think her outfits are really, really cool. I think if you're really big into fashion or cosplay or just clothing design in general, I think you'd be like in heaven here. This is probably something Clamp is known for. I believe I remember reading something that they love their outfits. Their characters constantly changing outfits. That's a thing, I guess, a recurring thing. So it happens a lot here in Cardcaptors. And there's just so much variation in her outfits and the detail in them as they like sway and flow dramatically as she's moving. It's pretty amazing, you know. And when I first went into the series, I expected that she was gonna wear the same outfit like all the time, because, you know, magical girl transformations, like my main exposure was like the occasional things I would see of Sailor Moon, and then like Madoka Magica, every time they transform in there, they're wearing the same outfit. So I'm thinking, oh, she wears the same magical girl outfit every single time. But like, no, she doesn't even necessarily transform. It's the staff that transforms. But Sakura, like, whatever she's wearing, that's what she's wearing. So it's not really a traditional, I guess, quote-unquote traditional magical girl transformation in that sense. It's really Tomoyo just basically hands her whatever outfit she wants her to wear, and then Sakura just throws it on before going into battle. It's kind of funny when you think about it. It's like there's no real rhyme or reason other than just to look really cool while she's doing what she's doing. You know, and I can appreciate that. It's I don't know, it's just kind of funny. But I guess Clamp was originally going to make it more of a traditional magical girl show or manga. And there was like a quote that I read on Wikipedia where one of the writers, or the main writer, I forgot what her name was, the leader, she said that it would be kind of sad to have Sakura, you know, for a little girl to be wearing the same outfit all the time. That it would be quote unquote sad. So I guess that is kind of sad, huh? When you're trying to kick butt and you have to constantly wear the same outfit. But I don't know, it's like I just thought that was a thing, like, a, you know, superheroes, they wear their same costume. I don't know. But anyways, so Sakura, when she goes to capture these cars, she I guess, think Pokemon, sort of, or like a cross between like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, like where like she'll, you know, not lay out a card, but kind of like, I don't know, throw it out there and say the words and then summon the thing within the card. And some of the cards have elemental properties, such as like wind. Wind is a pretty recurring one. Even when there's a card that's not using wind or doesn't have wind properties, there's just constantly wind in the manga. Like, there's like these really just like crazy wind spirals. But yeah, there's some sort of strategy, like certain elements being weak against others. But there's not so much of a fight or like a battle a lot of the time. Sakura might encounter a card, even, you know, just like kind of out of the blue, right? She's not actively searching for it. That happens a lot, actually. And there's not so much of a fight. It's usually the first time she encounters it, She doesn't really know what it is right away, but at this point, she should just assume, like, hey, something crazy is going on. It's probably a card. And the first time she encounters, she doesn't necessarily capture it right away. She comes back to the scene later on and then captures it. And the cards really don't put up much of a fight usually, and it's rare that Sakura's in any crazy danger. But yeah, when she does, like, one summon from one of the cards that she has usually does the trick. There's no, like, long extended sequences of two card monster things duking it out. Sometimes she'll even capture cards that without any sort of fight, like just total nonviolence, because some of the cards are not really aggressive in that way. And it's just, like, really heartwarming, you know? But doesn't exactly make for, like, a super exciting engagement. Though it is really cool to, like, again, with the wind, she has a card called Windy, go figure. And that's why it kind of, this manga makes it, it feels really childlike in some, like, the naming conventions and stuff like that. But I think it's really good for all ages, and I'll get into that later. But it's just really cool to watch her summon some of these elemental cards and then just watch, like, the panels just explode with, like, all the, you know, this huge, like, gusts of wind or, like, you know, waves of water and or ice. It's just, like, I don't know, it's really impressive. But even more impressive, I'm, like, stuttering over my words. I'm really sorry, guys. I got a lot to cover and I'm trying to go really fast. But even more impressive are the designs of some of the cards. So, like, the cards will really have, like, these super intensely detailed patterns. It's just, like, patterns upon patterns. And they don't always feature prominently on the page. So it's, like, it's crazy just the attention of detail of something so small on the page at times. Even in the little things like that. Like, Clamp really had... I mean, I guess maybe it's because it's four, you know, or three artists and one, like, writer slash big concept person. It's amazing, actually, how much they're able to accomplish just the level of detail. But yeah, I guess that's something that is common with Clamp properties, because I've gotten comments on Twitter like, hey, this is what Clamp's known for. They're just really talented artists and writers. So yeah, it's the art itself is really soft and lots of thin lines, lots of decorative art, just like random flower imagery on most of the pages. Doesn't really make sense with, like, the setting of the panels and stuff like that, but it's just a nice way to add some pizzazz to the page, you know, without using just empty white space, which a lot of mangaka do. And I also like how the characters and objects will flow out of their panels at times too. Overall, it just feels like less restrained and it just flows really, really nicely. There are times where there's not even panels, or there's panels that don't really have traditional borders, just like some characters are just floating on the play on the page, and it's really immersive. And occasionally there's panels that don't have, like, that they have, like, the borders are, like, patterned at times, or sometimes they're, like, this floral, kind of like a floral border. I don't know, it's different. I think Clamp does a lot of cool things that you don't traditionally see, and even just stuff like paneling, which you don't always think about when you're reading manga. Or at least, like, you don't hear a lot of people talk about or appreciate. But yeah, I can really see why this manga sticks with a lot of people, especially if you're young. Sakura, she's super cute, super cool. She has, like, I didn't even really talk about her family, but she has, like, a really nice and understanding dad who works a lot. You know, despite being, I think he's an archaeologist or something, he still tries to make time for his daughter by showing up to her cheerleading practices. And I forgot to mention, yeah, she does cheerleading. And then there's her older brother, I think Toya was his name. I think he's like 7 years older than she is. So he's somewhere in high school. And, you know, she has like a healthy, close relationship with, you know, with occasional like back and forth teasing. But, you know, she has magical powers, a super supportive, rich best friend. Her family doesn't actually know about her powers, at least not at the point where I am. And so she has like that cool sort of like, not rebellious, but like that cool double life kind of thing going on, that adventurous aspect to her, like slipping out of her bedroom window at night, which, you know, some kids have that fantasy and some teenagers have done. I was a good boy growing up, so I didn't do that. But yeah, it's just, you know, for me at least, it's not so much wish fulfillment for me, but like, for me, I would have been like becoming a Pokemon trainer or something. Like, that's what I used to do when I was younger. Like, we'd be at the park and I'd pretend I was like hunting for Pokemon. I had, you know, and I always kept I kept track of which Pokemon I had attached to my belt and which ones I had in my book bag, you know, or like my quote unquote PC, right? And just like I always kept track of like the Pokemon that I captured, and certain areas that we would travel would have certain Pokemon available. Like I got really into it. I had a really active imagination. I also had no friends. So that was my life growing up. But anyways, yeah. And Sakura, she just like this is very not idyllic, but like ideal lifestyle that she has. She even has an allowance. I mean, come on, I didn't have an allowance. What the freak? And of course, like she's super nice and super understanding. Like you can't even be mad at her. You could be super jealous, but you can't even be mad at her because she just is just a great person and she has a great life. I mean, she even uses her allowance to buy pancakes and mixes it and cooks them and then serves them to herself and her brother and his friend. It's adorable. It's absolutely adorable. And like occasionally the manga will cover like sadder themes, especially toward the end of I think it was the second volume. You see Tomio's mother who confronts Sakura's father about Sakura's mother. And without getting into spoilers, certain things have happened with the mother. And Tomio's mother is kind of over the top in her reaction to this and confronting Sakura's father. So it's like this weird tonal thing where I think it was supposed to be serious moment, like a really serious moment, but because she's like yelling and pointing dramatically and her expressions are kind of wonky, they look a little, a little more cartoony or chibi. It kind of maintains that lighter tone despite tackling some, I guess, more serious subjects. Though, so overall, like it's a very hunky-dory manga, right? There's not a lot of super major conflict, and if there is, it usually gets resolved and love conquers all kind of thing, you know? But one thing to note, there's definitely some objectionable things going on here. And, I didn't want to really bring it up, but I have to because, like, I don't want anybody going to this manga thinking, hey, I want you guys to be, like, expect, if before, not be caught off guard by some of the stuff in this manga. So, for instance, Sakura's mother was 16 at the time of meeting her father, who was 25. So, Sakura's friend Tomio comments on this, like, hey, wasn't she like in high school or whatever? And like the perception is that like Clamp seems pretty casual with these kinds of relationships. And I don't know if it's just like a fantasy on their part or maybe like something for the readers, that kind of wish fulfillment. But like in any other manga, these guys in this manga would come off like just as predatory, right? And I didn't read ahead, but there's definitely something going on or blooming. Actually, no. No, it's concrete now because where I left off, or shortly after where I left off in the second omnibus, something happened. And I'm like, whoa. So it's without getting into major spoilers, there's a student and a teacher relationship. A student and a teacher relationship. Now, mind you, this is fourth grade. Fourth grade, okay? That's down. So that's not even like some sort of like, okay, with a lot of anime and manga, it's like a senior in high school and their teacher, that even that's wrong. And I'm not making any excuse for that, but because I've been engaging with manga and anime for so long, it's sad to say, but I've become sort of desensitized to that sort of dynamic, right? That sort of relationship, which is really sad that the bar is that low, but it's true. But when it comes to this, I was not expecting this. These kids are in fourth grade, like 10 years old, 9 years old, right? And there is a legit relationship going on between a student and a teacher in this manga. And I'm like, this dude has like 20 years on this girl. And like the writers, I don't understand what the logic was here. Like, I know, like, man, I don't even know what to say, actually. Now that I'm thinking about, like, I didn't really write this much out. I just, like, this is objectionable, and I'm gonna mention it on the podcast. But like, with Sakura, it's cute because like she pines after her older brother's friend, right? And but it's this sort of like innocent crush thing, and the guy's like super nice to Sakura, but like he doesn't show any romantic interest in her. He's just a really, you can tell why she's kind of like crushing on him. He's just a really cool dude, right? But it's kind of odd to see in what is otherwise a relatively safe manga for all ages, this just, oh, just like blatantly pedophilic relationship going on. And Clamp is, they're all women, so I guess in like a sort of like biased sort of way, I wasn't expecting this, at least of an all woman, group of mangaka, because it's not like pervy older, lolicon man, men writing this, and that's not to like stereotype or anything, but like generally that's what it is. Like you see in certain manga, like there's a crowd, and it's written specifically for that crowd, and it's usually done written by a man. I mean, that's just the reality. I'm not trying to, make a, you know, broad statements about things, but that's generally what it is. And like, so I guess expecting this from, and it's not like they were, I don't think they had to appeal, because it's the Shoujo magazine. I don't think they were trying to appeal to their whims of like an editor telling them, hey, you need to include this sort of relationship in here. I just think it's something they decide to include, and it's just really odd. So that kind of, you know, I gotta say that kind of dampened what I was liking about the series. I'm still going to continue reading it, but I just figured, hey, I can recommend this to you guys, but with that caveat, if you're thinking, hey, this is a good manga to pick up for my niece or, you know, whatever, or nephew, you know, it doesn't matter. This is a good manga to pick up for, you know, somebody young in my family. Maybe it's like, you don't want to show them like, hey, these types of relationships are okay. Or maybe give them, you know, let them know, like when they get to that part in the manga and they have questions, just let them know, hey, this isn't right. Okay. I don't know. It's a weird conversation to have with a child. Like, wow, she has a relationship with a teacher and she's in fourth grade. Oh man. Oh God. That's just a weird thing to have to explain to any young child. But yeah, it's just really weird. Just really weird. So I wasn't expecting it. I could see how it could be like wish fulfillment because it's a shoujo magazine, maybe on the, you know, maybe the preteens or early teens, maybe that's some sort of wish fulfillment. Maybe Clamp was playing into that. I don't know. It's just weird and out of place. And I don't know. But one thing I do have to commend them for is to kind of spin things more positively. I think that if you're part of the LGBTQ community, there's definitely some stuff to appreciate here. Definitely, actually. I can't speak for that community or anything because I'm a straight male. Just throwing that out there, that caveat. So I don't want to act like I know entirely what I'm talking about, but like, it's hard for me to talk about this series and not bring up the obvious fact that there's definitely some super, super gay stuff going on here. So even at the time, which is like, this was in the 90s, right? So it seems like Clamps was very just like open-minded to just, you know, like non-straight relationships. So, and it shows in Sakura's character, who is also very open-minded to like the relationship her mother and her father had, the relationship that her friend and this teacher have. It's just like, she's super cool with it. So, and that's really cool. I think that's really cool. But I think, you know, there's an open mind, and then I think there are limits to that open mind when biological age is a factor. That's when things get a little, I don't know. I think the theme here is like love, you know, love is blind, that kind of thing, but not when it comes to like a kid in elementary school and this adult man, you know. Oh, anyways, I'm getting on a tangent. That kind of stuff irks me. That's why I have a hard time, because like manga and anime have this perception that a lot of it's like pervy and gross. I mean, there was this girl at my job, I'm going to a tangent, this episode's gonna be so long, I'm so sorry guys, but like there was this girl at my job, and somebody had asked her if she watched anime, and she's like, no, because it's like a lot of it's sexist and gross, and like I couldn't even argue with her. I'm like, that's true. But there are there's some really good exceptions to that. And like, but you know, when you have somebody who's like predisposed to like just not like these things because of based on what they've seen or what they've heard, it's really hard to get them to change their mind. So, and this kind of stuff doesn't do it favors, right? It just sucks. But anyways, overall though, again, a more positive note, I think Cardcaptor Sakura feels very nostalgic to me, despite it not being a part of my life until recently. And I didn't watch the anime, it was on Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon. But I'm really happy that Kodansha did this Clamp sale. I actually got to check this series out. And I definitely plan to keep up with the collector's edition, you know, digital releases. It's only 12 episode or 12 volume series. So like, why not, you know? And honestly, guys, the art, I mean, I can't overstate this enough. It's just beautiful. It's not like hyper realistic. It kind of has its own style, but it's done so well. And I can't comment on a series without mentioning hair. It's just the hair, it's just beautiful. Like there's a card towards the end of volume 2 that has like corkscrew pigtails, and I'm all about it. I just love it. Tomio has like really pretty long hair. It's just adorable, and I just love the attention to detail just in general. I mean, I say that a lot, but like seriously guys, if you've seen some of the stuff I was sharing on Twitter, you'll kind of get a feel for what I'm talking about. But even then, like, I didn't do the series justice. There's some really standout panels. I just didn't want to constantly flood the Twitter timeline with all these screen caps. But yeah, outside of that caveat with the, you know, the taboo relationships going on there, I think there's a lot to love here, and it's clear why this is such a seminal work in this genre and demographic. And Clamp is very well respected, and I can see why. You know, they're very well respected in the industry, and it's always good to have really just talented, seminal people, women specifically, in the industry, because you don't see that a lot. They don't always get the attention that they deserve. But Clamp is just one of those rare cases where, like, they're just like world renowned, and that's awesome. And like, I like to see more of that. But for my first shoujo, not my first shoujo, is it? It's my first shoujo on the show. Was it Jose, right? Oh, I'm confused. Oh, Yono the Dawn was a shoujo or Jose? Anyways, it doesn't matter. For my first, maybe potentially first shoujo, I actually really enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to be checking out more Clamp stuff in the future. Definitely going to be checking out more shoujo in the future. But as for next week, there's no theme or honestly real reason other than this is in my library. I've heard good things and I want to read it. It's Land of the Lustrous, written and illustrated by Haruko Ichikawa. It's a seinen fantasy manga, and I don't know how many volumes are out, but it had an anime adaptation a while back that was really well received, and I had the manga in my digital library, so I'm like, might as well check this out. Again, no real reason, just that's the next thing I decided to choose. So tune in next week for that. Thank you guys for sticking through this episode. It's got to be really long. I'm paranoid to like look at the timestamp when I end this. But yeah, you guys have a good one. Thanks for sticking around, and have a great week. Why am I don't know. Anyways, bye.